Here we go. All right. The title of my message this morning is Speaking Truth to a World That Doesn't Want to Hear It. Speaking Truth to a World That Doesn't Want to Hear It. Big news article came out this summer. The CEO of a major social media platform made a stunning admission about his company's failure to promote truth and about his company's willingness to stifle truth. It was specifically about the COVID-19 pandemic. Mark Zuckerberg is the head honcho at Facebook, and he admitted to the world that his company got it wrong over and over again. And by the way, you won't hear those kinds of admissions very often today in the news. But Mark Zuckerberg admitted that Facebook was engaged in censorship practices during a time when key facts about the pandemic had not yet been defined. Lots of user posts, which were censored and sometimes labeled as misinformation, turned out later to be true. Let me explain. So during the pandemic, if you wrote a Facebook post about your experience with COVID-19, you might have been censored, or at least partially censored, when you submitted it. If you wrote a post that suggested you went and got the vaccine yesterday, and now you've been sick for 24 hours, the software embedded within Facebook would have detected the word vaccine in your post, and they would have slapped a cover link over top of your post. And that cover link would say something like, click here for COVID-19 resources. I can't remember exactly what it said. But in other words, Facebook said back then, if you want the real story, don't read those posts from your family and friends. No, no, no. If you want the real story, let us direct you to the truth. And just 2 years ago, you were not allowed to voice your opinion about COVID-19 or even describe your experiences without some form of censorship from Facebook. And it got worse. It got worse if you tried to share a news article that did not adhere closely to the perspective of the mainstream media. For example, if you shared a link to an article that suggested that maybe, just perhaps maybe, COVID-19 began from a lab leak in Wuhan, China, Facebook may have permitted your post to go through, but they would slap a different cover over top of your post, and it would say false information or partially false information. In some cases, Facebook would have prevented you from sharing the link at all. Never before have we seen censorship on social media the way that we saw it during the pandemic. And for those people who promoted the idea that the coronavirus pandemic began in a laboratory, a lab that was doing research on coronaviruses, the mainstream news outlets called those people conspiracy theorists. Those individuals were criticized for spreading false or misleading information during a critical time in our nation's history. But now, years later, the truth has come out. The truth has come out. Both the Center for Disease Control, the famous CDC, and the U.S. Department of Energy, they both issued statements that say the lab leak story is very likely true. These government agencies admit that the pandemic started because it escaped from a laboratory where experiments were being done on coronaviruses. Did you catch what happened there? What our government admits is true today was called conspiracy theory just a couple of years ago. The truth was suppressed because it didn't fit in with the agenda of those in power. You know, we're going to talk more later today about suppressing truth. And it's my opinion that most people really don't care about truth unless they can somehow use the truth to their advantage. Let me give you an example. If you're willing to sit by for another illustration, just let me know, all right? Here we go. Ready? Lawyers care about truth. Okay, hold on. I'm not finished with my statement yet. Lawyers care about truth, but only when the truth can be used effectively to defend their clients. But what if it doesn't work out that way? What if the truth is against them? Well, that's not a problem either. You see, if the truth cannot be used to defend their clients, that's when you see attorneys doing what we call mental gymnastics. In other words, they'll spin the truth to appear to be something different than what it really is. They're trying to get the people of the jury to set aside reason, put away any logical thinking processes, set aside rational thinking in order to accept a false reality. And lawyers are exceptionally gifted in this art of subterfuge. But their efforts to defend their clients at all costs are nothing more than deception and a perversion of reality. It's an attack on the truth. And unfortunately, I think the world acts the same way when they're confronted with truth. They will embrace the truth when it clearly benefits them. If you remember the story, when our Lord and Savior Jesus was brought before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, Jesus told Pilate, he said, "Pilate, I've come into the world to testify to the truth." That's John 18, verse 37. Do you remember when Jesus said this, "I've come to testify to the truth"? Do you remember the flippant response that Pilate gave to Jesus? Remember what he said? Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth? What is truth?" And he left it there. And then later, Pilate ignored the truth that he knew when he knowingly and willingly sent an innocent man to be executed. The truth is inconvenient sometimes. The truth hurts sometimes. But the bottom line is that truth ultimately matters. Truth is critical for everything we do here on the earth. And the truth is even more critical in the life to come. The philosopher Plato once said, quote, "No one is hated more than the one who speaks the truth," end quote. Unfortunately, Plato was right about that. Jesus said he came to testify to the truth. Jesus didn't come to promote what was popular today. No, Jesus didn't come to fortify the ever-changing whims of the culture. No, Jesus came to testify to the truth. If those of you who have your Bibles, please open them up to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, I'll be reading from the New International Version, beginning in verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Verse 34. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus tells us the truth about sin. Sin is bondage. Forgiveness is freedom from that bondage. Jesus goes on to say that the devil is the father of lies, and that those who reject Jesus are sons of the devil. In verse 45, Jesus says, "Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." They would have rather heard a comfortable lie than the hard truth. The Bible is clear that many Jews did believe and did follow Jesus, but many did not. Those who refused to believe had been confronted with the truth, confronted with Messiah, but decided that they would rather have something different. And as we'll see in Romans chapter 1, choosing something other than truth can come with some grave negative consequences. If you'll move over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 18. Very common verses. We've read these before. Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. So what is the world's response? What is the world's response when confronted about the truth of God? I'll give you a hint. It's in the title of my message. The world doesn't want to hear the truth about God. We've seen this pattern throughout all of human history. People know God, but they don't like God's rules for their lives. So they suppress the truth about God. They violate the laws of God. They desire to live in sin. So in order to accommodate their sin and their unrighteous behavior, they suppress the knowledge of God and create their own gods. They willingly exchange the truth of God for a lie. And in doing so, they think themselves wise, but in reality, they are just fools who will face the judgment of a holy God, a just God. In verse 34, Paul says that not only do these people suppress God's truth to embrace a sinful lifestyle, but they also approve of other people who follow those same practices. Romans chapter 1 defines what happens to a culture that intentionally ignores and suppresses truth. You see, suppressing truth isn't rational. It's not normal behavior. People who intentionally suppress truth aren't motivated by reason or by logic or by rational thinking. No. Instead, they do it because of their love for sinful behavior. They've exchanged the Creator for the created. In other words, they prefer to worship themselves rather than God. What we're seeing today in the United States is not new to the world. The Bible says that those who deny God are suppressing the truth that they already know. They reject the notion of a lawgiver because they don't like how his law speaks against their unrighteousness. And while you could make an argument that some people have just been totally deceived today, while you can make that argument, Paul doesn't give those people any excuse. The exchange of God's law for human choices is a conscious decision that people make. The exchange of the truth for a lie is a conscious decision that people make. Acknowledging that there is objective truth requires a belief in and submission to an almighty God who makes the rules. So if you refuse to follow God's rules, then your only choice is to reject God and reject His truth. Let's get real now. What happens when you speak truth to our culture today? Well, if you speak truth to the culture today, you'll be called all kinds of nasty names with a vitriol that is unprecedented. Here's some examples. Do you speak the truth about God's plan for heterosexual marriage? Well, if so, you'll be called a homophobe who hates gay people. Do you speak the truth about God's divine order in the family where the husband is the head and the wife's role is to submit to her husband? If so, you'll be called a misogynist who promotes this harmful patriarchy that has oppressed women for thousands of years. Do you speak the truth about God's creation of two genders, male and female? If so, you'll be called a hater that denies the existence of trans people. Do you speak the truth about God's coming judgment for people? If so, you'll be called a self-righteous bigot who just needs to be more tolerant about other people's behavior. Do you speak the truth about the Judeo-Christian philosophies adopted by our founding fathers and those who wrote our Constitution? If so, you'll be called a Christian nationalist, or even worse, a fascist who wants to discredit people from other religious backgrounds. You see, in our culture, we've adopted this false notion that if you disagree with somebody for any reason, disagree about anything, well, that disagreement must have stemmed from nothing but hatred on the inside. We're not allowed to disagree anymore. What a ridiculous notion that if you disagree with somebody, you hate them. I want everybody to understand what the name calling is all about, what it's really all about. Calling people these ugly names is nothing more than an attempt to silence Christians who would otherwise be willing to speak truth. Think about that. Telling people that we're not allowed to disagree is an attempt to stifle all discussion. And sadly, many Christians have bought into this falsehood. They've allowed their fear of being called a name to silence them in a world that needs to hear the truth now more than ever. And the saddest part of the story is that the gospel is good news. It's great news. When mankind chose to sin against God in rebellion, God provided a redemption plan for mankind. God the Father provided a means of escaping judgment for sin when He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And all we have to do to be redeemed for our sins is to believe this good news story in faith and in repentance. But there are people in our town who've never heard the gospel story. Our good friend Lynn Walker told me just a couple of months ago, she was doing an outreach ministry event where they were providing hot dogs. Anybody wanted a hot dog, come on over and get a hot dog. And she said, while folks were eating, Lynn was sharing the gospel story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she said that several people told her they had never clearly heard the gospel story before. They'd never heard it before. Can you believe that? This is where we are now. The truth has been stifled, and Christians are fearful of speaking truth. What kind of world are we living in? I'll tell you what kind of world that we live in. This is much, much different than the world I grew up in, but this is the world we live in today. We live in a world that preaches tolerance, yet they have no tolerance for the truth. We live in a world that promotes diversity, but yet they reject diversity of opinion or diversity of thought. We live in a world that's hungry for freedom, yet they prefer the bondage of sin and reject the freedom that comes from the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that loves to share information, yet they don't approve of Christians sharing information that they don't like. We live in a world that approves of perversion, and yet they classify any attempt to promote righteous behavior as perverse and hateful. So how bad is this perversion of truth? You can ask Riley Gaines. You might recognize that name. She's been in the news a lot. Riley was a University of Kentucky swimmer on the swim team. She participated for years in the NCAA women's division at the highest level. Riley has publicly protested about having to compete against biological males, such as Leah Thomas. You recognize that name? If you know the news stories, Leah is a man who calls himself a woman, calls himself a trans woman, and he competes as a female swimmer for the University of Pennsylvania. But this woman, Riley, she's received all kinds of backlash, all kinds of hatred for her complaints about having to share a locker room with a biological man. When she filed her complaints to the NCAA, you're not going to believe this response. When she filed a complaint about having to share a locker room with a man, she was told that she was the problem. She was told that she was the one who needed therapy. She was told she was the one who needed to change. And you believe that? What a travesty. This is how far we have fallen in this country. My friends, it goes without saying that we Christians must do everything in our power to protect young girls. We must keep boys out of girls' locker rooms. Keep boys out of girls' bathrooms. We must shield young girls from those who are trying to exploit them. It is a shame that I have to say these words today for what was completely and abundantly obvious to the world just a few years ago. Christians have been silent for far too long. It is time for Christians to rise up and speak truth. If we don't speak truth, then who will? Who will? Catholic priest Dwight Longenecker made a tweet a few years ago that describes this continual descent. Descent is the right word. The descent that our country has taken with regards to sinful behavior. Here's his tweet. First we overlook evil. Then we permit evil. Then we legalize evil. Then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil. And finally, we persecute those who still call it evil. Dwight's words are so true. Our country has already descended through that entire progression. The Bible says, "Beware of those who call evil good and good evil. That's Isaiah 5:20. I've heard the Dwight's words said a little differently. I've heard it say, once we go down this pattern, where first we were told that we must tolerate their sinful behavior, and then we're told we must celebrate their sinful behavior, and now finally we're told we must participate in their sinful behavior. And I say, no, we don't. We don't have to do anything of the sort. Our God is a God of truth, and yet the world does not want to hear the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. Jesus said, your word is truth. The word of God is the truth that the world desperately needs. There is an invisible spiritual war that rages all around us. And I'm going to be talking about this a little more next week. It's going to be part two of this message. There's an invisible spiritual war that rages. The falsehoods that I've mentioned today, you know, they likely started out as some crazy idea that nobody really believed. You know, 50 years ago, nobody believed that a man could be a woman or a woman could be a man. Nobody believed that. Well, then at some point, these crazy ideas, maybe they got adopted by perhaps a fringe group. And then maybe later by multiple groups. And then eventually the crazy idea got bought in by, say, Hollywood or maybe the mainstream media, maybe academia. And then at some point, corporate America bought into the crazy idea. And now anyone who speaks out, who speaks truth and says this is a crazy idea, this is wrong, anybody who speaks out runs the risk of losing their job. That's how spiritual strongholds are formed. And Paul talks about these strongholds in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning of verse 4. Paul says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The Bible uses the term strongholds. Stronghold. Paul's not talking about a physical fortress. He's not talking about a place that can be invaded and overcome with a sufficient show of armed force or anything like that. No, he's talking about a spiritual stronghold. These spiritual strongholds, these are demonic falsehoods that find their place in a society, and they gradually become more and more reinforced as more and more people reject God and accept the lie. Our young people are being taught these false doctrines in our public schools. And as they grow older, it becomes increasingly difficult to break through these strongholds, these things, these lies that they've been taught year after year. Paul says that we have to take these falsehoods, we have to compare them against the Bible, we have to expose them for what they really are. And I'll give everybody a preview of next week's message. It's kind of a part two. It ties into our message today. It's from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Paul writes, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. We'll talk more next week about the armor of God, but guess which piece of armor Paul refers to first? The very first one is the belt of truth. It is imperative that Christians embrace truth. It is imperative that Christians embrace God's word as truth. I'll tell you right now, if you don't read God's word, if you don't pay attention to those who preach it, if you don't listen to God's word, then you won't be able to detect the falsehoods when they come your way. You won't know the counterfeit unless you know the genuine article. And I know it's hard for a lot of us. I understand we've been brought up in this fallen world. We've been raised hearing lots of worldly wisdom that's not really wisdom at all. We've been homeschooled in the wrong home. I get it, but it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to make a commitment to embrace the truth at all costs, to speak truth to those who desperately need to hear it, and to be willing to defend the truth. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to engage in spiritual warfare. And no one, believe me, no one in their right mind goes into battle unarmed and unarmored. Next week we'll delve into the full armor of God, and I hope that you all will join me on Sunday, August the 20th, for that message. In closing, let me encourage everyone by saying the battle is not lost. Sometimes it feels like we've taken a beating in this world, and we have. Our country may never ever return to its place as a, quote, Christian nation. But the Church of Jesus Christ has not been defeated. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. We've read the end of the Bible. We already know the ending. We already know that Jesus ultimately wins. We know that his foes one day will be completely vanquished. But we are called to stand firm in the faith today. We are called to defend the truth today. There are souls dying all around us. A lost world that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Your words of truth to that person, to that neighbor, to that co-worker, to that friend, to that family member, your words of truth may be the only Bible that some people will ever hear. We need to take God's word into the world. It's not our job to beg and plead with people, to beg them to turn from their ways into the arms of a loving Savior. That's not our job. It's our job to give them the truth. The seed that you sow today, you may be shunned today. When you sow that seed, you may be shunned. They may curse you to your face. I'll give you just a quick example. My dad was not always a pastor. My dad will admit this. Preachers would come to his house, come visit him. My dad would slam the door in their faces. And one particular pastor that he slammed the door in front of, years later found out my dad was a pastor, was a preacher. And he said, "This I gotta see for myself." And on a Sunday night, that man came to my church. My dad, from the pulpit, with tears in his eyes, said, "I want to apologize to this man. He came to give me the truth years ago, and I wasn't very nice to him, but I want to say thank you." It was a very emotional moment for my dad, but that man sowed a seed years ago. Don't be afraid to sow the seed. You may be shunned today, but that seed that you sow may persuade somebody to turn to Jesus for salvation many years from now, maybe after we're long gone. It's not for us to know. It's not for us to know, but it is for us to speak truth. It is for us to live truth. It is for us to walk the walk and to talk the talk. Christians cannot sit on the sidelines and be spectators during spiritual warfare. Let us pray that our God would embolden us to speak truth and to defend it vigorously. It's time to fight back. I hope that y'all will join me, and our message continues next week. Father, we pray that you embolden us. Embolden your church, God, to say enough is enough with the lies. Embolden your people, God, to speak truth. God, to speak your word. God, to dismantle the falsehoods, to dismantle the strongholds, God, that the devil has set up in our very country. God, it is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stop being silent. It is time for us to be active and not passive. God, we pray that you mobilize your people, God. We pray that you send workers into the harvest. Father, there's a lost and dying world all around us that desperately needs to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. God, we pray that you inspire us and motivate us to do just that. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for your message today and for your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.